I'm very thankful for your presence this evening. Thanks to Joe for leading that hymn. As we think about our lives, how many would say that they love to lose and hate to win? In this world, it's all about winning, and coaches are fired, maybe even in the middle of the season. And the pressure's on to win at all costs, that no matter what, you've got to win. And the thing about it is that probably the temptation may be for each and every one of us, because I can remember when I was young, I just hated to lose at anything. Our high school team won the state championship in Florida in 1979. And the whole thing is just kind of like that's the way it was, is that winning is everything. But is winning everything to the Lord? As you think about what Jesus had said, a lot of paradoxes concerning in Jesus' teaching, especially the Sermon on the Mount. But in Christ, you win by losing. What? It's in worldly terms, people look upon that as being blasphemous. You win by losing. Well, Jesus said this many, many times in the scriptures, and he said it in all the what we call the synoptic gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account. In Matthew 16, verse 25, Jesus said these words: "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." In Mark's account, Mark says, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." In Luke's account, Luke said, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." Lose his life for my sake. You win by losing in Christ. Many are saving their life and are going to lose it in the end, because it's all about them. It's all about looking out for number one, not the fact that we are creating his image for his purposes, his will, what he desires that we do in our everyday life. Because you might remember before this passage, as large crowds are following him, this is not going to be a very popular message. Not one that false teachers will really pronounce and then examine and make application to the audience, but Jesus did, as many are following Jesus. "I surrender all" is the point, as you think about the hymn that we just sang. And Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, in Luke's account said daily, and follow me. Deny yourself. And so in Christ, you win by losing. First of all, concerning in Christ, win by losing, concerning what do you lose? You think about losing weight. Now, how hard that is sometimes to lose weight. And so you think about the calorie count, and you think about the consequences if I continue to eat the way that I'm eating or drinking, however that is. And so concerning your appetite, it's got to change, doesn't it? If you're going to be healthy, if you're going to lose weight in general, what about your appetite for sin? When we think about concerning losing in Christ, you win by losing, you lose that appetite for sinful pleasures. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. And again, there's many other passages that we can turn to. We'll focus on this. In Colossians 3, he basically said right before this, concerning setting your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also be revealed with him in glory. So, based upon that, what he just said, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead, The old King James would say mortify there. The sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. And so when you stop and you think about the consequences, all right, just from a physical standpoint concerning the consequences, if I continue to eat this way and I gain weight and I lose my health, I've got to change things. And so when I recognize concerning the appetite that I had before, if I want to go back to that and practice that, God's wrath is going to come upon me. This is the way that I used to live. And really in this passage is this word epithemia. If you remember in Kyle's class, he talked about that. And basically the idea of longing especially for what is forbidden. The world longs to lust for things that are forbidden. It's an enticing to them. It should not be that way with the Christian. It should be disgusting to us to think about, hey, if I did the lottery before, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to gamble. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to look at pornography. I'm not going to commit sexual immorality. I'm not going to fulfill the pleasures that I had before in drinking alcohol any longer. I recognize the consequences of that behavior. And you can just name your sin in there. Let in your anger and passion, let it get out of control and hurt other people physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And in verse 8, he said, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. The whole thing is, as you look upon patterns in our life and habits that we have, and maybe in the past, anger, wrath, and malice, and lying, it was just, it's just a habit with so many people. We talk in the Ephesian letter concerning, you need to remember when you were dead in your trespasses and sins and the way that you used to live. And the Apostle Paul included himself in that in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 3 when he said, and in them, or among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulged in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were made by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. By a long period of practice, we were, that's what that word therefore nature means, even as the rest. So we lose our appetite for sinful pleasures and we change our appetite and we're hungering and thirsting after what? Not after that alcohol, not after that immodestly dressed woman, but we understand what Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We think about satisfying our sinful pleasures. The pleasures of sin are only for a season, as Hebrews 11, verses 25, as you see the example of Moses understood that, and so he was willing to suffer reproach for Christ rather than enjoy the pleasures of Egypt. In John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said these words. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. You'll never regret hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You're going to gain righteousness by eating the bread of life, by hungering and thirsting after the water of life, which we talked about in our Bible Bible class this morning from John chapter 7 in that passage. And so you win by losing, changing your appetite, changing your desire, wanting righteousness, which in Christ, as we were buried with Christ in baptism and rose to walk in newness of life, we're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So developing that appetite for spiritual things and putting away the sinful things in our life. Also concerning the attitude of pride, we need to lose that. We need to lose our attitude of selfishness. You can think about selfishness being behind pride in Proverbs 16 and verse 18. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, many other passages that talk about pride. We'll just mention this one. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride goes before destruction. When we think about all in the New Testament, as we would talk about the scribes and the Pharisees who were hypocrites, they were always prideful about all the great and wonderful things they did and looking down upon others. They needed to lose that attitude or they're not going to gain eternal life. Even though as the rest of the people look upon here, here is the spiritual elite. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 5 and verse 20. What's it to gain by humbling yourself? People are going to walk all over you. People are going to take advantage of you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in 1 Peter chapter 5, especially all people need to learn this lesson, but especially the young people. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, as he had just talked about the elders in verses 1 through 4, you younger men, likewise be subject to your elders and all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility. That's the way that you are living your life. Clothing yourself with humility toward one another. Why? For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, what's the benefit of that? Most people say, humility shows that you're weak. Oh, yes, well, didn't the Lord say that when you're weak, you're strong? As the Apostle Paul had prayed 3 times that this thorn in the flesh might be removed from him. My grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. Humility is for losers, most people would say. Well, the whole thing is that, hey, I want to be a loser as far as the world is concerned and be a winner with Christ. Therefore, based upon what he just said, humble yourselves under what? Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Think about the promises of God concerning the humility and from a worldly standpoint, it just doesn't fit in with that worldly mindset. You got to look out for number one. No, we want to be pleasing to the Lord, and we learn humility from who? We learn it from Jesus. He was meek and lowly in heart, right? He said, come learn of me in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 in that passage. So verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. That's how you're going to resist the devil. Because as you think about all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, you can have what appears to be a person who is very righteous, very holy, doing a lot of good deeds, and he might look at himself and look at all that I've done and want the praise and the glory and honor of men and not of God. So resist the devil, being firm in your faith. Knowing what? Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, yes, we are going to suffer as servants of the Lord. Yes, going to suffer for a little while. After you have done that, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. We're not going to be exalted now. That's going to come later. You're going to gain glory as you humble yourself. Not if you're filled with the attitude of pride. And then as many would think about wealth being security, and Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because you're going to lose it in the end, right? Where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Once you have eternal life, now once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you have eternal life, you're not going to lose it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In all three accounts, you see concerning the rich young ruler, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments. I've kept all the commandments. One thing you lack. There's only one thing you lack. Sell what you have, give to the poor, come follow me, and you have treasure in heaven. He wasn't willing to lose earthly wealth for the gain of eternal life, because the whole thing is that he's going to lose it all in the end. But the temptation is, when you have so much, that's why the danger of having so much in this world as Americans and blessed with prosperity, we see the temptation to just trust in those riches, trust in those physical things, trust in my possessions. When we think about those countries that are generally more poor, they're generally more interested in spiritual things. That doesn't mean we can. It's just a strong temptation, and Jesus is trying to teach his disciples the lesson in all three accounts, in Matthew, Mark, Luke's account concerning the rich young ruler. We're going to have to give it all up in the end. But, as you mentioned there, in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that in the verses before that, you were dead in Christ, dead in your sins, alive in Jesus Christ. You've been raised to sit with him in the heavenly places, verse 6. Verse 7, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. These are the true riches, because they are eternal, that you will gain. Yes, you lose everything. When you think about the pearl of great value, finding that one of great, great price, be willing to give up all that you have to buy that pearl of great value, or finding that treasure and giving up all that you have, Matthew chapter 13, verses 46 through 48, for that treasure. Also, maybe this is very difficult concerning in Christ, you win by losing. You know what? You might lose family and friends because of the gospel. Mentioned this passage this morning in Bible class in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, Jesus said, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies be the members of his household. Here's the test. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Just think about the passage at the beginning of the lesson, right? Save your life, you'll lose it right before that. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Verse 39, he who has found his life, here it is, will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So Matthew mentions that statement twice here in the context of concerning family. So sometimes, because of the gospel, division in the household, father or mother, son or daughter, and it's sad and tragic, but the test is concerning, do we love Jesus more than them? And we recognize concerning our example, hopefully, will bring them to restoration or bring them to salvation in the end. What about your best friend? You lose your best friend because of the gospel. Very likely that has happened to several here, if not all. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, studied this in James recently. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If I want to do the things that they do, say the things that they do, practice what they're practicing, the sin that they're practicing, we cannot be in fellowship with God. And actually, even more so, we have made ourselves an enemy of God in making that choice. But the whole thing is that, you know, losing my family and my friends. I've lost my best friend and my family. And maybe none of your family are Christians at all. And how difficult is that? But what did Jesus promise in Mark chapter 10? In Mark chapter 10, we mentioned the rich young ruler earlier. And this is right after Jesus talked about the rich young ruler. In Mark chapter 10, Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." The other context would say, as far as we have left everything, our home, and we've left everything and followed you. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." You think about concerning what you gain in a spiritual family, mothers and sisters and brothers and fathers, your spiritual family, and how important that is concerning what you gain. Say, "Well, I've lost everything," and you have your brothers and sisters in Christ. So, well, I thought it was just eternal life. You know, he said, now in the present age and in the age to come, eternal life. What you have gained, and your brothers and sisters in Christ, who you love, fervently love from the heart, that you know that you can be at ease and comfort with your brethren. You can encourage them towards love and towards good deeds. You recognize that iron sharpens iron as we study the scriptures together and deal with difficult arguments and learn from each other as we think about Bible classes that we have together, that if any one of us does wrong, the spiritual will try to restore us in a spirit of gentleness because they love our soul and want us to go to heaven. And that's the most important thing in Christ. You win by losing. Many don't see that. We hope and pray that each and every one here does. What about your self-confidence? What about your self-confidence? In Philippians chapter 3, you know, the Apostle Paul had a lot of that, didn't he? As they would put confidence in the flesh, those who are giving him grief, those who are persecuting him, those who would put confidence in the flesh, he could do that. He had done that. He said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision, for we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. And what does he say next? And put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. So as he talks about his heritage, all this, you know, you think about those who have a great heritage. And here you look at my family line and how wonderful they have been in the past. And I have great ancestors and all of that. And look with all that they've accomplished in this world. Oh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the 8th day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal of persecutor of the church, as of the righteousness which is in law found blameless. Well, seemed like sure, proud and confidence in himself. He's making an argument. They're putting confidence in the flesh. And you know what? I could do that. And if we just left it off there, we'd think, man, he was just a proud person. We know what the next few verses are, don't we? Because in verse 7, he said, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for what? For the sake of Christ. Lose confidence in yourself. And your heritage and all that you've done and all that you have accomplished for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of what? Of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of what? Of all things. Have you suffered the loss of all things for the sake of Christ? Very, very unlikely that we have suffered the loss of all things for the sake of Christ, but the Apostle Paul could say it. And count them but rubbish. Why? So that I may gain Christ, may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Do we have that strong desire concerning knowing him and the value that is in Christ Jesus and knowing him, having fellowship with his sufferings, conformed to his death? As you think about, I'm putting to death those physical fleshly things. The confidence in the flesh that I had in the past for Christ, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Has he already attained it? Some people think, well, I'm at the summit. I've made it. No, he didn't have that perspective. He said, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. His confidence is totally in Christ. You think about those who lack confidence in themselves in different areas. And I understand concerning doing something new or something difficult in the physical realm, and, you know, especially for those who say, wow, I just couldn't do a speech in front of an audience. My knees are knocking and my tongue is tied and I'm slurring my speech and all of that. And I just don't have that. But, you know, you start doing that, you start practicing that. Some might be better than others. But as far as the gospel goes, each and every one of us can have this same confidence in Christ, can't we? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it's about the Apostle Paul is about to be executed for the cause of Christ. Look at the confidence that he had. He said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He lost his life for Christ's sake. But in the end, he gained the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. He fought it. As we think about concerning, do we lose confidence in ourselves and concerning our abilities without Christ? Concerning all that confidence that we would put in the flesh, concerning, look at all the things that I've done, Lord. Count them but rubbish is what we should, like the Apostle Paul did, that he might gain Christ. The attitude and mindset concerning in Christ, you win by losing. What about you tonight as you think about gaining the whole world? What will it profit a man? What will it profit a person who gains the whole world and loses his own soul in the end? How sad and how tragic that is. Lose your life for Christ's sake, but you got to begin that life by being buried with Christ in baptism, rising to walk in newness of life. So tonight, are you in Christ? You understand this principle concerning that, hey, I'm just going to wait till I get older. I've got plenty of time to sow my wild oats. And that's what I was told when I was young. Just sow your wild oats, you can serve God later. We don't know about tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to obey the gospel, don't delay. While you're waiting, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Or if you need to be restored, God calls, we encourage you to come right now as you stand and sing.